Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 115, the stanzas 2 and 3. O Lord, my God, overwhelmed in deep affliction, far from thy rest to thee I lift my soul. Deep calls to deep, and storms of trouble thunder, while over my head the waves and billows roar. And what follows? Psalter 115, the stanzas 2 and 3. Out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Mark 6, the verses 30 through 52. First, the holy law of God. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, nor any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Mark 6, the verses 30 through 52. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told them all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, "This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." He answered and said unto them, "Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat?" He saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye? Go and see." And when they knew, they say, "Five and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them, and the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the 4th watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Caleb, the infant son of Mr. and Mrs. Andrew and Denise Munts, who was transferred to the Lethbridge Hospital in the past evening. Miranda Vandenberg, who was in the Calgary Hospital, and Mr. and Mrs. Jordan and Coralie Niels, who were blessed with the birth of a baby boy. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, it has pleased thee in thy great goodness, thy mercy, thy long suffering, to grant unto us and our dear children this Lord's Day. Then thou wast watched over the whole congregation the first 10 days of this newly begun year. Then in the midst of the trials and the afflictions, then thy mercies have been multiplied, and that for a sinful and an unworthy people, wilt thou impress those matters upon all of our hearts, and wilt thou grant a little humility and a little bewonderment, when by renewal we and our children may have a place under thy word and eternal testimony, and where thy mercies have been multiplied, also the reasons for thanksgiving. And then, Lord, it is the work of the Spirit to grant those special exercises concerning those matters. And then also on the second Lord's Day, then we do well to reflect upon the first 10 days, what we have all been busy with, and then our duties in this temporal life. They are indeed manifold for fathers and mothers and for children, but there is that one thing needful, to examine whether we are still seeking all our joy, happiness, and satisfaction in the things here below, or whether there are those more vehement desires that also with the temporal blessings that we may be given to see thy special hand and the exercises concerning our never-dying soul. Oh, do impress upon the hearts of young and old that we only not must die, but that we shall die, called upon to appear before thee and tend to give an account. And then it shall be so terrible to appear before thee as we are born. And to that end, O King of the Church, then we humbly beseech thee for a rich blessing upon thy holy word. Also in this morning service, O come down with thy Spirit in the realm of nature. Then thou causest the wind to blow, and to that end come, O north wind, and come thou south wind, and blow upon the church, for the conversion of sinners, for the conversion of young and old, and do spare that we build upon sandy foundations, but do remember thy Zion. Thou knowest who they are. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest their need. Thou also knowest how they have come up in this morning hour. Then be a surprising God, can be as we have heard upon that stormy sea, where it can be so dark and where the waves can be so high, and where that light is missing. But, Lord, then thou hast not forgotten thy church, and thou hast remembered thy Zion, and thou hast been a wonder-doing God, and thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then thou hast said, be of good cheer, it is I, and be not afraid. Wilt thou remember the many temporal needs? Oh, then there are also those amongst us that have begun this year on a stormy sea, with many a trial and many affliction. Thou hast spared us all. And then we commend unto thee that little son, where thou was given a remarkable improvement in the past week, and in the past evening transferred to a closer by hospital, with the hope that in the near future, when he may be a little stronger, that the parents may take their precious little gift homeward, and may it all be realized and make it profitable for the soul. Wilt thou remember the handicapped daughter in the hospital, Lord? Thou knowest the many difficulties, the many concerns which seem to remain so often in the hospital. But, may it please thee to bring her in that spiritual hospital, to be concerned more about her soul than about her body, and the need for that spiritual healing, which is only possible through thy dear son. Remember the family circle. Then we commend unto thee all the sick and all the afflicted under the physician's care in special ways, undergoing treatments, and it all awaits for thy blessing, and may it all be sanctified. Remember those that struggle with weakness of mind, together with their dear ones, the crosses, the burdens, the scars. We commend them all unto thee. Do continue to uphold and remember all the mourning ones. There are so many amongst us where they have begun this year in the little ship of their family with an empty place. Then thou hast spoken in such special ways. May it be used by thee for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. Wilt thou remember the elderly ones as they continue life's journey, where the shore of eternity is coming closer by? Oh, for all of us, only one step between us and death, but more so for the elderly ones, when still an unsaved soul, and may there be a hastening for their life's sake. Wilt thou so grant a rich blessing upon thy church in this day, over the length and the breadth of the earth? We commend unto thee the branch. Do help the readers with leading and laying the needs of that people before thee, and do grant thy richest blessing. We humbly ask thee, Lord, wilt thou grant thy gracious help in speaking and in listening? Do give a little rest in thy house. Oh, the prince of darkness, he is also a faithful churchgoer, trying to distract and trying to draw our thoughts elsewhere, although it is together with our heart, Lord. Grant then a holy attention. May we be given to hear the words of the living God. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 295, the four stanzas. They that traffic on the sea, while unceasing watch they keep, as see Jehovah's majesty and his wonders in the deep. And what follows, Psalter 295, the four stanzas.
Thank you.
in this morning hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for the portion of Scripture, Mark 6, the verses 45 through 52, and we shall read the verses 46, 47, and 48. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. Our text words speak of Christ's almighty works manifested upon the stormy sea. With four thoughts in the first place, Christ's knowledge of the storm. Secondly, Christ praying during the storm. Thirdly, Christ appearing upon the storm. And in the fourth place, Christ stilling the storm. Christ's almighty works manifested upon the stormy sea. Christ's knowledge, Christ's praying, Christ appearing, and Christ stilling the storm. A beloved congregation, we have heard the last Lord's Day that Christ has multiplied the loaves and the fishes and has fed a great multitude. And then the Jewish people, they desired to make Jesus king. That Jewish people, they were much burdened with the yoke of being under the Romans. But for most of them, they were not burdened with the yoke of their sin. How is it with us? As we have started in other year, 10 days have already run its course, and the burdens and trials in daily life, not to be minimized, but is that our only concern and trouble, or has it become by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit that we are burdened with the yoke of our sin? Oh, also for the disciples. Then they also had much thoughts of an earthly kingdom, although let us not look down upon those disciples, because when the Spirit richly works, then that kingdom also becomes manifested in a rich measure upon this world among the children of men. And so Christ has constrained his disciples to go into the ship and to sail to the other side. Our history of the storm upon the sea, that is also recorded in Matthew 14, John 6, and in Matthew 14, And then it has been added that Peter excluded in Mark and John, Peter walking among upon the waves and sinking and rescued by Jesus. And then we have heard that a storm arose. That implies when the disciples, when they went into the ship, that the Sea of Galilee was a calm. But then during the night, it is implied already early in the night, that the Lord has sent a great storm. And they tell us upon the Sea of Galilee, not a real large sea, approximately 12 kilometers across, 22 kilometers from north to south, but that sea, 680 feet under sea level, and to that end, then the winds could descend into that depth and meet with the moist waters, and that terrible storms could suddenly arise. Our history, that is a different history. In Mark 4, there we also read that a great storm has come, the disciples in the ship, but then Jesus was present, was sleeping, and then they have awoken him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? But in our chapter, then we read that Jesus went on a mountain to pray. Special instruction, but now our first thought, Christ's knowledge of the storm, because in verse 48, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. When we consider our history, then our ship upon the sea, that is now a picture, boys and girls, of each individually, the family circles, and the church. And now we were permitted with our little ship to commence the year 2026. And then for many, the sea relatively calm, but for others, a stormy sea. And then we read in our history that how suddenly and quickly it can change. Begin with a calm sea, and then suddenly it becomes so stormy. And now concerning our little ship, then what is necessary, boys and girls, then we must think along. What is now necessary for our little ship? That the ship is upon the water. And the sea that is a picture of this world, as we read in the book of Revelations, and let us not expect that it shall always be calm. Because of the redeemed saints, John was given to see it in Revelations 15, that the redeemed church, that there was a sea of glass. So that means, boys and girls, that the sea was completely smooth. But here, upon the sea, many contrary winds, and now it is necessary, our ship upon the sea, but that the water stays out of our ship. In Mark 4, there we read that the waves have even come over the ship, and that the ship was filling with water. Thus that means that our ship must be kept watertight. We think of Moses in Exodus 2. Then the parents of Moses have made a little ark out of reeds, and they have daubed it with pitch, that the water, because boys and girls, if the water came into that little ark, then that ark would sink. Thus, how necessary that we give due diligence concerning false doctrine and world conformity, and that our ship may be watertight, and then the church we may compare each member a plank, and then in a ship only one plank that is decaying, or one seam that is leaking, and the whole ship eventually shall sink. When we think of our little ship, then it needs to be steered by the helm, that we may guide our ship aright. And in our day, then our ship, different than in earlier days, then we can guide our ship by the mouse of the computer or our fingertips. And then if it is well, then a ship, sailing in an unknown sea. And so it is with us and our children, that the future is hidden for us. Then a ship needed a compass, and the psalmist has declared in Psalm 119, verse 105, given to speak of God's word as a lamp and a light unto my feet. Then a ship also has a flag to tell which nation and which people that such a ship is sailing under. And under who are we sailing, congregation? Under which king? Under which kingdom? Becomes evident by our talk, by our walk, by our dress. Which flag are we sailing under? And now ships in a sea, a little practical instruction that our children can follow it. Then there are also many dangers. And then in the waters they place floaters fastened to the rocks to tell the pilot of a ship that in that area they absolutely may not come because there is great danger. And if they sail where those floaters and warnings are, then there is the great danger that their ship shall suffer shipwreck. Oh, how necessary the sixth petition. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the sea, many currents that shall draw us aside. And in earlier days, before ships had engines, then many a pilot of the ship, when they came in the wrong current, not on purpose, and when the wind was blowing toward the rocks, then there was only one remedy left, and that is to cry to Almighty God that he would change the wind. Oh, what occurrence there are for us and our dear children drawing us away. Then for our little ship, when the wind is blowing favorably, then we need to put up the sails. The work of the Spirit, using the means of grace and we read of the disciples rowing to rows, to oars. The one is working and the other one is prayer. And then at the beginning of the year, have we thought much about it? Which way is our little ship now sailing? There are two shores. The rocks of eternal destruction. But there is also the shore of Emmanuel's land. The shore of bliss. And concerning our ship, not only concerning the sea, but then it can also be that our ship is failing, that the planks are decaying, and then such a pilot will take a ship to the shipyard. They shall bring it out of the water, if it is possible, to replace a decaying plank becomes more difficult when the neighboring planks are also decaying. There are such amongst us concerning their ship where there are many concerns concerning their health. Then in this year, we have begun with our little ship. And then the most important is whose flag we are flying under and which direction our ship is sailing. And now in the olden days, did not have the instruments we do, then they had to sail much by the sun and by the stars. And then for such a crew, when the sun may shine brightly and when the stars may shine in the dark night, then they may have a sense of direction, and so it also is for those who have been wrought upon by the Spirit, when the Son of Righteousness may shed his rays abroad in the heart, that they may be warmed and overwhelmed, when they may be given to see the twinkling stars of promise in the sky, and then they may believe that all is well, a hope, that they are on the way to Emmanuel's land because they have forsaken the world and they have learned the exceeding sinfulness of sin. Oh, they have begged that the Lord may be their captain to guide their little ship to Emmanuel's land. And then concerning those ships, let us also add, and then when the sea is calm, and then should out of those little ships the high praises of the Lord not arise out of that ship, young and old. How has it been when the Lord has blessed us the first days of this new year? And then when the Lord sends those storms to be given to beg, to become not overly dejected, and not rebellious when the waves come so high. But now for those disciples, oh, it was a deep way. Christ has constrained them to go into the ship. Thus it was clear that they were walking and sailing in the Lord's ways. And now when the Lord sends those storms and those waves, then we do well to examine our life and our heart. Of course, when we are a Jonah, running away from the Lord, then it shall not be unexpected. Then for a Jonah, it should actually be a wonder when the sea is calm. But now for the disciples, when we are given to walk in the ways of the Lord, not seeking out the sinful things of the world, not sailing where those markers are, and then when the Lord sends a storm, then how must we understand that wind and those waves? And especially when a choice has been made one way or the other, and then when the Lord sends a storm, then is it that the Lord is coming against us with his frown and with his displeasure, or is it a testing of faith? For those disciples, the Lord Jesus had constrained them to go into the ship, walking in the ways of the Lord. Undoubtedly they have expected, then it shall be a smooth trip. But the Lord tries the faith of the living church, and with those waves and with those storms, then they are given to learn matters which cannot and shall not be learned on the calm sea. Thus the disciples, they came in great trouble and in great agony, sailing across the sea, and we have heard it, toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And then, boys and girls, what do you think those disciples have done? While they were rowing, what do you think they have done? That they have prayed much, that the Lord would still the sea, calm the waves, and that they may come to their desired haven. And when the Lord answers not, and when it is so dark, those disciples undoubtedly, it is written, they were in the midst of the sea, did not know where they were, how mysterious the leadings of the Lord can be. And then in that dark night, contrary winds, disappointments turn into discouragements, oftentimes even into murmuring, as such mysterious ways, and death before them. Those disciples, they were privileged to sit under the prophetical ministry of Christ. He was their teacher. They have chosen him as king. But with those matters, they could not die. Because for the disciples at this moment, then that priestly office was so obscured and so hidden from them. But now we read, and that is a special word, our second thought, Christ praying during the storm. Then Christ, he has sent his disciples away, dismissed the crowd, and then he went alone up into the mountain to pray. What do you think he has prayed for? Oh, he has preached the word, has broken the loaves and the fishes. We would say, children, the sermon was over. And then he has went up into a mountain to pray that it may be accompanied with the Lord's blessing. Also instruction for office bearers for the congregation after the service is over. Oh, then he has prayed for the Jewish nation. John 1 verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Many have followed him for the miracles, for the healing of their sick, but they did not need him as their Savior. Then he has prayed for the beloved for the Father's sake, that eyes may be opened and many may be brought to the saving knowledge of his dear Son. Oh, then he has prayed for the glory of his Father that we read so often in the Scriptures. Think of his high priestly prayer in John 17. Has prayed for the coming of his kingdom. And what else do you think he has prayed for, boys and girls? What a sweet thought that on the mountain, because he knew their condition, that storm was not outside the providence of the Lord. And on that stormy sea, we have sung it together out of Psalm 107. Read it, and there we read in the verses 23 through 32 that there they do great business upon great waters, and they see the wonders of the deep. And then we read in Jonah 2 verse 3 that Jonah in the belly of the fish, that he has prayed all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Thus Jonah was given to declare they are thy waves and thy billows. Oh, Jesus on the mountain praying for his church that they may be given to see it, the providential leadings of the Lord, that the height of the waves, the strength of the wind, and how long it would continue was all in the hand of the King. And when the church may be given to see it for moments, then there may be a little rest and there may be a little peace. Then he has prayed for his disciples. We read in John 17 verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. Thus Jesus has prayed for his disciples. And among the disciples there was also a Judas. And Judas, because he was present with those other disciples, he may also share in the answer of that prayer that the ship would not go down to the bottom of the sea, although it is clear that the high priestly prayer that extends only to his chosen church, but as a consequence that Judas was present, he was also spared. Shall we remember it the blessing and the privilege to be in the ship of the church, not sufficient to save us, but a great privilege and a great blessing to be under the external administration of the covenant of grace. Oh, then Christ is prayed that their faith would not fail, that they would receive strength to endure upon that stormy sea. And to that end, oh, a privilege and a blessing when there are times that the church may see it and believe it. The intercessory prayer of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, John 10, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life, they shall never perish, and no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Then for those disciples in the midst of the sea, their journey was approximately 8 kilometers. And we read in John that at the moment that Jesus would come, 25 or 30 kilometers and a furlong is about a fifth of a kilometer, thus 5-6 kilometers. Coming closer to their desired haven, but in that dark sea, in the midst of the night, they did not know where they were. It's not a strange matter for the true child of God, all on that stormy sea. And then the devil shall also not sit still, whisper in their ears, it's best to go back, because it's clear, it's all wrong. You thought you were on the right way, on the narrow way, and now such a stormy sea, you shall never come to the other side. Thus it is best to return back. And yet the living church does not mean that it is never whispered in their heart. But they cannot, because that bridge has been taken up. But now, in a dark night, to have no light, and then a blessing when the church may continue to beg. Our third thought, Christ appearing upon the storm. Let us first sing. Psalter 240, the stanzas 2 and 3. Thou hast brought me down to darkness, neath thy wrath I am oppressed. All the billows of affliction overwhelm my soul distressed. And what follows, Psalter 240, the stanzas 2 and 3. Christ's almighty works manifested upon the stormy sea. At Christ's knowledge of the storm, Christ's praying during the storm, and now thirdly, at Christ appearing upon the storm. And then we read, and about the fourth watch of the night, at 3 o'clock in the morning, they had rowed and prayed for a long time, but the storm continued. But he has come. What an encouragement for those waiting souls. Though it tarry, wait for it shall surely come. And then we read, he cometh unto them. How has it been the first 10 days with our little ship in the year 2026? In verse 52, we read solemn words. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. That is written of the disciples, that they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. How has it been with our little ship? Have we been given to see any wonders in the deep? Or when the sea was calm and the Lord has showered us and our children with so many blessings, must it also been said of us that we considered not the miracle of the loaves? For the disciples, it was becoming more common. The sick healed, the loaves were multiplied, they were involved, they were allowed to be the instruments to distribute those broken loaves, and it is specifically mentioned in the inspired word, for they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Must we say, first days of 2026, Lord, that is now the picture of my little ship. Have been so blessed, the sea calm, no great troubles, no empty places on our little ship, and yet an unfeeling, a hard heart, or with our lips, few words of thanks, but the true praises have not risen out of the little ship. And now we read, and would have passed by them. Of course, boys and girls, you can understand it. A great wonder that Jesus has walked upon the stormy waves, and that he did not sink. And then you can ask, how was it possible in that dark night that they could see Jesus passing by? This specifically mentioned not that everything is written in the Word, but it was the time of Passover, that was the time of full moon, then undoubtedly the moon has shone a little through the clouds, and that there was enough light that they could see someone walking on the waves. And then it is specifically mentioned that he has walked and would have passed by them. The same as we read with those travelers to Emmaus, that Jesus did as if he would have continued, but they have constrained him that he might come in with them. Also instruction in this year, that each time, and we must place yourself where Jesus passes by, where God's word is opened. That is what Bartimaeus has done. By Jericho, then he has sat where Jesus would have passed by. But then we must not just let Jesus pass by silently. Then we must do as a Bartimaeus, son of David. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Then we must ask the Lord to bless us. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit and cried out. Thus they have held Jesus, that it was a phantom, a spirit, a ghost. Are there souls that have done the same? Maybe those that say, well, that we do not do, because we have the Word of God, the inspired Word of God. But are there souls that have done the same? That for Jesus, for his word, for his promise, that it has come up in our heart, oh, at the time, believed it was so real, believed it was from the Lord. But then when those waves overwhelm us, and when it becomes so dark, fearing that our ship shall sink and go to the bottom of the sea, that it comes in our heart, what was it now? Was it now that the Lord has spoken to me? Or strong desires? Because with strong desires, then we can find text in the Bible to suit our needs. Was it our imagination? Or was it the devil that has spoken to me as an angel of light concerning the Lord's providence, that time we were given to believe was the Lord's providence? Answer upon prayer. But was it perhaps the joining together of circumstances, that it was chance that it has happened? And how those souls can be frightened at those thoughts can even be that they fear that they have committed the sin against the Holy Ghost. But now for those disciples, thought it was a spirit, sat under his prophetical ministry, have seen his wonders, and they cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. A troubled disciples upon their little ship. Isaiah 54, verse 12, tossed with tempest and uncomforted, fearing that they shall never come to shore. But now Jesus has come. Oh, what a comfort. Jonah, thy billows and thy waves, the height, the duration, and they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, not so long, but three profound thoughts. O disciples, it is dark, the storm was still blowing, the waves trying to devour their little ship, but be of good cheer. And then the reason, it is I. Exodus 3, verse 14, I am that I am. That faithful, covenant-keeping God, it is I, whose name is Christ, anointed, prophet, priest, and king. All power is given unto me in heaven and upon earth. It is I that has done so many wonders. It is I that has come. Never too late. Although for the church can be fears and what else. Oh, if the church would have that assurance that he shall come, then it would be so much easier, although when they are sick of love, they desire that he may come quickly. Be of good cheer. It is I. My name is Jesus. I have come to save his people from their sins. I am the prophet, the priest, but also the king. And therefore, be not afraid. Our last thought, Christ stilling the storm. Oh, then we can understand, boys and girls, that those disciples on that stormy night, that they have thought, if Jesus had now been present, then we could commit the case unto him, then we would have nothing to fear. But Jesus was not present, was their desire. What is our desire, congregation? So we have begun this year. Is it for the Lord, his dear Son, to receive pardon? Because the church on that stormy sea with those waves, then they learn what lives in their heart, can be murmuring, can even be rebellion, hard thoughts of the Lord. Has Jesus not constrained us? We are walking in his ways. Jesus knows of what little faith we are. And then to send such a great storm, we have prayed nearly the fourth watch and the storm is not letting up. Be of good cheer, it is I. And he went up unto them into the ship. Ah, that was the desire. The Master was now present. And before, but it is followed. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. Does great harm in the life of the church when they are as Israel that they forget the wonders of old, what the Lord has done in the past. A blessing, 2 Corinthians 1 verse 10, who hath delivered us from such great a death, and doth deliver, and trust that he will yet deliver. But now we read, and he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased. Then we see that the Lord is free in his dealings. In Mark 4, when there was also that storm, and when they have awakened Jesus out of his sleep, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Then we read that Jesus has rebuked the storm. But in our history, this time with the storm, then he simply came into the ship and the storm ceased. The waves settled, the sea became smooth. And then we do read, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. May that also take place with their little ship in this year, that there may be those special moments. We may be given to see the special providential hand of the Lord. We may see this is the Lord's doing. He has been mindful of us. The waves have become still. The Lord has given a little rest, even outwardly, for the true church. Not only providentially, let us not make a foundation thereof for eternity, because we need to be saved. We need to be saved from the waves of God's wrath. Oh, in that sea, and where the waves come higher and higher for perishing souls. But then to come to a knowledge of the greater Jonah that has placed himself in those waves, the waves of his father's wrath concerning the sins of the church. And then the sea has become still. And then we read that they came to the shore. We shall all come to the shore of eternity. Can be in this year. And then by renewal, then fathers and mothers, then you have something to talk about with your children. About our little ship. Many points can be multiplied out. And where our ship is sailing to, and concerning the desires of our ship, we need the Lord, we need Jesus. How terrible it shall be to come to suffer shipwreck on the rocks of eternal destruction. My unconverted fellow travelers, may you be given to surrender your little ship to the King of Kings. Oh, that you might row hard to turn your ship around and to experience that we can do nothing, that it is all of grace. Oh, those disciples on the sea, they had nothing, they had used the means, but they needed Jesus to still the storm. But now for those little ships who have been given to surrender, have the compass of God's word, are given to weep those tears of godly sorrow, at times given to lament as those disciples also, the hardness of heart, but have also experienced that Jesus has come in the ship, that he has rebuked the storm, satisfied justice, and then for those ships, no, they shall not arrive with a beautiful polished ship. Paul has written, the tabernacle of the body shall be broken down, but they shall arrive on the shores of eternal bliss, where there shall never be a storm, never a wave. The psalmist has declared, this God is our God. Forever and ever he will guide us, even unto death. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may we all be given to closely examine and to question concerning our life's journey and where our journey is to. Then we need the work of grace begun and furthered in our heart, O Lord. May it be a year of thy sovereign good pleasure, that many a ship, among young and old, may be given to surrender unto thee. Ask for thy ways, become a begging people, and to experience that the storm of thy wrath may be stilled. Ah, Lord, do it for thy honor and for thy glory. Ah, for thy Zion. Many a dark night, many a wave, and many a storm, and a blessing when it may be used to bring closer to thy throne and to thy word, and to experience that thou art that faithful covenant-keeping God who shall never forsake the work of his own hands. Do watch over us in this day. Return us in this evening hour. Pardon us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 445, the stanzas 3 and 4. Jehovah is thy keeper, a shade on thy right hand, thy safety to command, the moon by night, the sun by day, shall not afflict or smite thee, but with thy radiance light thee. And what follows? The consistory wishes to announce the following, the Lord willing. There will be a midweek service on Thursday evening, January 15, at 7:30 p.m., Psalter 445, 3 and 4. Blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.